So good morning. We're going to go ahead and go into prayer and go into our lesson. Father, we just thank you for another Sunday morning. We just thank you, Lord God, for the many blessings that we have, Lord God. Father, we just thank you for the freedom of worship, Lord God. The freedom to worship you, Lord God, without any persecution, Lord God. We thank you for how good you've been to us, Lord God, and how you've blessed us, Lord God. And I pray, Lord God, even as we go into your word one more time, Lord God, that you would again feed us, Lord God. Lord, let it be word that we digest and take into our spirit, Lord God. There has never been a time when we just really needed to feast on your word and get it down into our soul and our spirit, Lord God, so we can live it, Lord God. So, Lord, help us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to continue our lesson with the rock. We're kind of delayed, we were trying to get some video clips together. And, you know, apparently the technology wasn't matching up. So, you know, we'll try it again another time. But we're going to go forward with living this name, the rock, and just recapping a little bit on some of the things we talked about concerning the rock. It's such a powerful lesson. I hope you guys are getting as much out of this as I am. I mean, it's just, you know, just thinking about the rock. And, you know, as we started out talking about the theme of the rock was it is a refuge. But it's a refuge that you go to by choice. You know, you choose. God gives you that free will to choose whether to come to him as a refuge or not. You know, and because of who we are, and because we're human beings, and because we got that little pride and that arrogant thing going, it's hard for us to sometimes just submit to the rock that loves us. So God, in all of his wonder and his beauty, he will pursue us. You know, sometimes it seems like a hard thing, but God loves you too much to leave you out there, and he will pursue you. Sometimes somebody's praying for you, and that's why God is pursuing you, and the things that you want that's not good for you won't work out because somebody's praying, and the rock is pursuing you, because we have to find a way to the rock. And we talked about last week that the rock is a place of keeping and a place of nourishing. Sometimes we just need to be kept. No, it's no moving forward, no moving backwards. Sometimes you just need a place to be kept. You know what I'm talking about? You know, I don't need any new projects right now. I just need to be kept today. And the rock keeps you, and the rock nourishes you. The rock feeds you. You know, and I thank God for that nourishment, because that nourishment, it strengthens me. It strengthens my spirit so I can get up and go again. You know what I'm talking about. This world is tough. This world is hard. And the enemy is just left and right, all these things. Nothing is random. As I said, you got to pay attention to what's going on around you, because nothing is random. You know, and when you start to see the attacks of the enemy and also see the hand of God in your life, it makes all the difference. You can see the world and your day with more clarity than just skipping through life, la, 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 you know. See it with clarity so you know how to pray. The Bible compels us to be sober, be vigilant, which is watchful, because that adversary of yours, the devil, roams around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. I mean, folks, I mean, you got to take, I mean, I've taken that scripture, and it's just been like my theme. Like, okay, Lord, what's the assignment for today? Keep my eyes open, Holy Spirit. Let me be watchful. Let me watch myself, Lord. God, don't let my emotions rule me today. Because I know the enemy is out there watching and trying to push my buttons. So we know the rock keeps us. We know that the rock is a place of protection, that the rock will protect us. But again, it's your choice to come into the rock. Because sometimes the rock is trying to protect us and we're running from the rock. And we talked about the person leaving the camp all by themselves, the Lone Ranger, that, oh, I got this. In fact, I've got my skill set. I got my degree, so I'm just going to go out and do what I want to do. And you're like that lone cowboy that comes back into the camp full of arrows, you know, because the enemy has kind of beat you up. You know, that's exactly what it is when you get out there by yourself, because the enemy is just daring you to step from outside of the covering of the Lord. He's daring you. Because he's got something for you, child of God. Because I know you're a child of God. I'm just daring you to step out. Because I got something for you. And I know it sounds like, you know, they said, Karen, really, are you really thinking that? I'm like, don't you know it? Do you live in the same world I'm living in? Because I know what the enemy will do for me. You know, so again, we have to be careful with ourselves. As children of the living God, we have to be so careful with ourselves. You know, you committed your life to Jesus Christ, and now you have to be careful. Stay in the rock. Stay with him. And then finally, we talked about it is also a place to repent. And that's a hard place sometimes because we don't want to repent. We want to justify our retaliation. We want to justify our vengeance. We want to justify things. And so we it's hard for us when we're, it's almost impossible to repent, and in the same time you're trying to justify your vengeance. You got to lay your vengeance at the feet of Jesus. He said, vengeance is mine. I will repay. Let God's justice prevail. You know, and I love God's justice because sometimes God's justice involves forgiving people. And we don't like that. I want them to pay. And the Lord will call you to forgive. And that goes against our very nature. The nature that we used to live in, folks. You know, he's changing us. Remember? We are changing. He's renewing us. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. So we're learning that. So those emotions got to pop up, but you don't know what they did. Jesus knows exactly what they did to you. And he's telling you to forgive. You know, and the enemy will tell you a lie and tell you he doesn't know. He doesn't know what it's like. He doesn't know how hard it was and how bad you feel and how deeply they hurt you. It's a lie. This is the Son of God who came down and was humiliated publicly, tortured publicly, hung on a cross, and he doesn't know how you feel? It's a lie. Don't believe the enemy. That's the enemy talking to you, okay? He knows how to soothe you. Yeah, you deserve. You should just go tell her off because, you know, it's just time. You know, she did this last year. She did this 5 years ago, and now she did it again. It is time to tell her off. It's time to put her down, yes. Is that what you said, Rose? But resist, folks. We are a new creation. And I'm telling you, everything in Christ is so different than what we have been raised in. We talked about Christ pulled us out of a vat, of a stinky, smelly vat, a sewer. Yes. You know, and if you ever pulled a piece of fabric out of sewer and it's all smelly and it's dripping with that stuff, that's us, folks. That's Christ saving us from sin. And he's taking us out of there. And now he's taking us, he's cleaning us up. And that stuff's got to come off. We can't act the way we did when we were in the sewer. We act differently. We throw love at hate. We throw forgiveness when we've been mistreated. And that, you know, you got to get past that emotion and get into the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can help you do it. You can't do it. Only God only requires your will to do it. And he'll take care. Just ask the Holy Spirit to take care of those emotions, because the Holy Spirit will come through and he'll sweep those emotions up. He will. I'm a witness. You know, as I say, mean Karen is a witness, okay? He had to do something with mean Karen, honey. So anyway, review. That's a review from where we've been. And now we've talking about knowing this name and really understanding these parts of the rock. And now today we're going to talk about living this name, the rock of refuge. And our key scripture comes from Psalm 31, verses 2 and 3. And it says, bow down your ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be my rock of refuge, a fortress of defense to save me. For you are my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for your name's sake, lead me and guide me. And I think we hit on that for that term, for your name's sake. See, God, you know, his name is on stuff. His name is on you. Do you understand? His name is on you. When you accepted Christ, His name is on you. So for when you say for your name's sake, Lord, you got to deliver me because they're watching and they know that I serve you. So for your name's sake, for your reputation, deliver me. I love that about David. David was just, he had this relationship with God. Like, listen, your reputation is on the line here. So for your name's sake, deliver me speedily, he says. So the first point in your note says, David knew the secret of living this name, the rock, in his season of trouble, and he saw the hand of God move on his behalf. Conversely, there are consequences for those who choose not to go to the rock. And we are talking about believers here. Okay, we're not talking about, oh, the sinners. The sinners don't, they don't know it. They don't have the rock. We're talking about believers. This is written for us. Most of this is for us. So when we're talking about going to the rock, we're talking about children of the living God. To understand what it is to live this name, the rock, you must understand what it is to choose to live outside of the rock, to stand in pride rather than take refuge in the rock. The story of Jeremiah depicts this choice well. And we're going to paraphrase and talk about Jeremiah's story. The next point says, as unpleasant as the thought may be, it is possible that storm clouds are gathering on the horizon of the day. We would do well to prepare for this possibility so we can face each storm in Jesus' name, our rock. And this is a quote from the book. Because sometimes we don't want to look at the storm clouds gathering in our families, in our workplace situations. We don't want to, I don't want to deal with that. But you would do well. Pay attention. God wants you to pray. If you pray, maybe the storm won't come. If you pray, you can get through the storm. But if you ignore it, you'll be in the middle of the whirlwind before you even will think to pray. This was the case in the book of Jeremiah. The storm clouds were gathering because of the sins of Israel. In David's case that we talked about previously, he retreated to the rock because of the sins of his enemy, King Saul. But in Jeremiah's case, Israel needed to retreat to the rock because of their own sins. Wow. So in that moment of time, when you are in trouble because of your own sin, and we've all been there, you have a choice to make. Okay, the enemy's going to be all in your ear telling you, no need of you going to God because you have messed up. He does not want to hear from you. That is a lie. Can I tell you, that is the biggest lie he'll tell you, because he wants to keep you and let you get worse. And let's do something. You might as well just do this because you already did that. That's a lie. Don't listen to that. I know you're feeling bad because of what you did, but go to the rock. You got a choice there. Go to the rock immediately, as fast as you can. Go to the rock. He is there with his arms outstretched. The enemy will tell you he's not there. No, because we have this human mentality about how humans treat us. Family, friends. We think, oh my God, I've messed up again. I can't go to, and you fill in the blank and tell them that I, they don't want to hear me. That's human stuff. We're talking about God. We're talking about the rock, and the rock is there. The rock is there. The rock will be there. Don't let anybody tell you different. I don't care what you've done. The rock is there for you. So go to the rock. You have a choice to make at that moment in time, to retreat to the rock or manage your own defense. And sometimes we take on that thing to manage your own offense. There's a saying in legal circles that says, he who defends himself has a fool for a lawyer. Yeah. And it's absolutely true. Because you're trying to defend yourself. Even humans that don't understand Christ understand the dangers when your emotions are involved and when your all your conflicts are involved as you try to defend yourself. You ever try to defend yourself? Even when you were right, And you get all emotional and you try to defend yourself and you say all the wrong things, and then you say something and they, what, you did what? You know, you're like, because sometimes you got to let the rock defend you.
Amen.
You have to let it, you know, you have to go into this place of prayer, you know. Don't let the enemy tell you you can't go there. You can go there. Go there as fast as you can after what has happened. Go there. The rock is an advocate like no other advocate. He defends not only with words, but he defends you with acts and movements of his Holy Spirit. See, have you ever been there when you knew you were up on the chopping block? You were up, you were due, okay? And you were up on the chopping block, and you got there, and the rock was there, and the rock had been there and had defended you. Oh, man, I remember. He defended me. He defended me. You know, and it wasn't a matter whether it was my fault or not. It was a matter that I called on him. And he defended me. He is a great advocate. He moves. Not necessarily with words. Sometimes it's, as I said, look for those movements of the Holy Spirit. Only the rock can change the hearts of men and women towards you. Have you had that happen? Someone's heart just changed towards you. And you're like, so you're going to do that for me? Oh, yeah, we're going to do that for you. Yeah, you know, have a nice day. And you're like, oh, my God. The rock. He comes in.
Mm-hmm.
Changes the heart of men and women towards you. And you,
amen.
Oh, my goodness. The rock. Go to the rock. The rock is there for any and all situations. Whether the storm is your fault or not, the rock is there. Sometimes the rock will bring you to himself because of the path of destruction that you're on. Wow. The book of Jeremiah records such a situation. The salvation of Israel was at hand, and the rock allowed the storm to bring her to himself. Wow. That's a love. Yeah, you're right, Virginia. That's a love act. That's an act of his love. As we are headstrong and full of pride, the love of the rock, you know, even where she said it, I had it in the notes. The love of the rock will allow your derailment to bring him to bring you to him. He'll allow your derailment, folks. What's that? Oh, what's that? The Jesus picture. Yeah, I was. This was a gift from Sam and Rose. Sam actually made this picture, and yes, just hold this. Isn't this beautiful?
Oh, wow.
Sam did this.
Oh,
isn't that beautiful?
Beautiful.
And this is a picture of him sitting there watching. And yes, folks, sometimes he will let you be derailed, but he's watching. Don't think his hand is ever off the gauge. You know, even before we came to Christ, man, you had a mama, a grandmama praying, daddy praying, granddaddy praying. And the rock. Isn't that beautiful? The rock is sitting there. The rock is watching. The rock is there to keep you. So yes, he will allow a storm to bring you to himself because that's his love for you. And if you look in Jeremiah chapter 7 and 11, in the book of Jeremiah, the Lord commanded Jeremiah to pray no more for Israel. Can you imagine? Can you imagine God telling somebody, don't pray anymore? It's my turn now, okay? Don't even bring their name up before me because it's my turn. I'm dealing with this now. That's a situation that they were dealing with here. He told Jeremiah, pray no more. Pray no more because it's happening now. The Babylonian army is coming, and the Babylonian army is going to overtake Israel. They're going to raid in Jerusalem. They're going to take the people into captivity. So don't even pray anymore. It is done. Oh, man. The same thing happened with Samuel and King Saul. You remember? Samuel was weeping and crying and crying over King Saul, the first king of Israel. And he was crying over Saul because Saul was sinning and, oh, he's not honoring God anymore. And Samuel the prophet was just crying. And God came and spoke to Samuel and said, don't pray anymore. Get up. Stop weeping and get up. I've chosen someone else to be king of Israel. Get up and go down to the house of Jesse and anoint David. Sometimes folks, oh man, I don't know if you've been through experiences like that where God says, get up, stop weeping. I'm taking over this situation now, but I need you to get up and be the prophet. You're the prophet of the land. Get up. You're the mom of the family. You're the dad of the family. Get up. Go down to the house of Jesse and anoint the new king. And the new king was David. Turned out to be the greatest king Israel had ever had. And you always have heard me say it. Till this day, his star dawns. Israel. Dawns the Israeli flag to this day. Is the Star of David, I'm sorry. So sometimes it's like at those moments when you are down to your lowest low and you think all is lost, if you would just get up and obey God, the greatest blessing is right there. The greatest blessing is right there, but you got to get up and go and do what you need to do. In the situation with Jeremiah, there was something coming for Israel. Israel was going to be taken into captivity. So he told them to pray no more for Israel, for they needed the rock. They needed a season in exile, a season within the cleft of the rock. Have you ever been there? It's a season where nothing seems to go right for you. You can't move forward. You are backward. You are held in the cleft of the rock, powerless and defeated until you are ready to pray. Until you are ready to pray. And again, that is God loving you. You're not ready to pray. You're on this path of destruction. So God takes you and he puts you. I'm just going to use your cup. And he puts you, like, if this is the mountain, he got you in the cleft. And his hand is over the cleft, the opening. And he's got you in the cleft of the rock. And you can't go anywhere. You can't go anywhere. He's got you there. You know, it's almost, you can't do anything. Because you can't, if I let you go, you will kill yourself. So I'm going to just keep you here until you are ready to pray. And then when you're ready to pray, then he can minister to you. He can nourish you. He can protect you. So that beautiful place in the cleft of the rock. I have to compare it with the love of God with when you're trying to tame a wild horse. Now, I don't know much about horses, but I've seen it. I've seen it on TV. Where, you know, you take those wild horses and you bring them into the corral. And this wild horse is just running around in circles trying to get out of that corral. And then that cowboy comes in there and starts riding that horse. And that horse is just bucking and wanting to get him off. You know, and he just stays with that horse until that horse settles down. They call it, this horse is broken. And then you can put the bit and the bridle on. And then the horse can go places with purpose. Do you understand? That's the way God is with you. He's like, you're just all over the place. But sometimes I got to get you in that cleft of the rock and get you settled and nourish you and feed you and show you some things so that you can go forward with purpose. So you can carry out the destiny of God for your life. That's love, folks. That's love. He doesn't want you to just die and go to hell. You just, you know, just out there just doing whatever. So somebody will be praying, folks, and you don't know. Got you right there. You get those calls. Mom, nothing's going right and everything's wrong. Uh-huh, yeah. We praying. That's the way God will do it. And then you're ready to take on the bit, the bridle, the saddle, and you can serve a purpose for God. And it was just like King Zedekiah. He didn't want to hear. Many people in this situation are trying to beat the rock at first. King Zedekiah didn't want to listen to Jeremiah. In fact, he persecuted him, put him in prison, did all kinds of things to Jeremiah. Didn't want to hear what he had to say. He was trying to tell him the truth. He told Zedekiah, don't fight the army of Babylon. Don't fight them. Just let them come and take over the city, and then there won't be bloodshed if you just let them come and do it. But Zedekiah resisted. Zedekiah was determined he was going to resist them, and there was all this bloodshed when the armies of Babylon came. The king of Israel will not listen to the words of Jeremiah. Instead, he persecuted God's prophet because of the warnings and instructions Jeremiah gave him. You may try to beat the rock because you do not want to hear the truth about your life choices. You may stop coming to the house of God, avoiding his people, but the Lord is passionate for you and will wait until you are ready to talk to him. Hallelujah. But in the meantime, you're going to be in the cleft of the rock, okay? Nothing. I mean, I've been there. I don't know. You know. And sometimes we don't think we're resisting God. We don't think we are, but we are. Our prayer life is weak. We kind of got our own agenda going. And God's got us in the cleft of the rock. Nothing's working out, you know. You didn't get the promotion. You didn't get this. You didn't get that. The house fell through. The car fell through. No. He's got you, waiting for you to seek his face. It's a good place to be.
Yes.
You know, it's a good place to be, folks. You know, who the Father loves, he chastises. If he loves you, a good daddy will, discipline. A good daddy will come after you, okay? Many times Christ will pursue you because there is someone somewhere praying for you, praying that Christ will save you from yourself. It is only as we recover from our tragedies do we realize the foolish extremes we were living on. I remember that quote from years ago. It's only as we get past it. You ever look back and like, I can't believe I did that. We've all done that. I can't believe I did that. You know? Yeah, just, there's no other word for it but stupid, right? It is then we look back and say, thank you, Lord, for saving me. I look back, I'm like, thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for keeping me in the cleft of the rock. Oh, God, thank you that job didn't come through. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, because if that happened, that would have happened. And Lord, thank you, Jesus. And then as we look at the book of Daniel, we see a different relationship within the rock. This is after the Israelites were taken into captivity into Babylon, then enters the story of Daniel. And we see a different relationship with Daniel within the rock. In this book, in the book of Daniel, there is a standing in the rock. As the people of God were taken into exile and are surrounded by the sins of Babylon and are challenged time and time again to bow to other gods, they choose to stand in the rock. See, there's a standing in the rock too. You know, you don't have much going for you. They were in captivity. Didn't have much going for them. Serving as someone else, you know, but they made up in their mind, I'm going to stand in the rock. I'm going to do things God's way. Even when the powers that are over me are coaching, are coaxing me into doing things against God or doing things, you know, bowing to other gods. You know, in this particular instance, it was a literal bowing to an idol. But in our day, they're still idols. They're not golden statues, but they're still idols. Money, status, relationships, idols that we bow to, give in to, instead of standing in the rock. It's one of those things, man. They were in the midst of their spanking. We are still in captivity, and we're going to be, we're not bowing to anybody else. We've learned our lesson. You know, as the people of God are taken into exile and are surrounded by the sins of Babylon and are challenged time and time again to bow to other gods, they choose to stand in the rock. Note the blessings that came to those who stood in the face of adversity. From the three Hebrews who were thrown into the fiery furnace because they would not bow to the false god. Wow, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's the video I wanted to show you. A clip from the Bible series. And boy, it just depicted it so well. You know, them into the fiery furnace and then the Son of God being there. You know. See, when you stand for God, God will stand for you. You know, yes, you're in captivity. Yes, it looks like everybody else has the upper hand over you. But I dare you to stand in the rock. You stand in the rock, and people will back off. I'm like, you know, there's something. Don't mess with her because I don't understand it, but because those demons that operate in people. See, you got to understand the spiritual warfare that's going on around you. You got the angels of heaven guarding you. You know, and they see those angels. They're like, you know, maybe we should leave Mary alone today. Because she's standing. Because I know when I'm standing, God's got his angels with me. I'm like, I'm not standing. You're never alone. Don't you understand that? You're never, ever alone. But he needs you to stand. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were just teenagers, the way the Bible describes them. Maybe they may have been even born in captivity, but they were standing. The elders told us about God, the Almighty God, and the miracles he did for us, how he brought our people out of Egypt, and how he did this and he did that, but we sinned. So now we're standing. So from Shadrach, Meshach, it's from the fiery furnace because they would not bow to the false gods, to Daniel being thrown into the lion's den, the famous story, because he would not stop praying to God Almighty, and they were protected and triumphed as they stood fast in the rock. These are not just fairy tales, folks. These are not just stories. God will stand for you. I'm a witness. He will stand for you. I am amazed at how he stands for me because I don't deserve it. I said, Lord, I don't deserve it. I deserve this. I deserve it. But thank you, Lord, for standing with me. Especially encouraging is the reality that we not only dwell in the rock, but that the rock dwells in us. That's from the book. Isn't that beautiful? I love that. The rock dwells in us. This is not just he's hanging out with us. You know, there are people that'll hang out with you and then they're gone. But Jesus is ever here with us. Ever with you. Never leave you. Never forsake you. The rock dwelling on you or in you keeps you through the storms and the terrors of the day. There are terrors out there, folks. And he'll keep you. The rock kept Daniel's heart in the lion's den and the Hebrew boys in the furnace. I know they had to be terrified. Folks, I believe there are things coming. We are so close to stuff. I mean, yeah. I mean, this is no joke. We are there. We are there. You know, you see it happening. You know, you see it happening. Everybody's got to have a chip in their card now. By 2017, they will not take any credit cards that do not have chips in them. And they'll market it as a safety feature, as a safety feature. Your driver's license now has a chip in it. Do you notice your new driver's license now have chips in them? Wow. So all these things are happening, you know, and somebody sent me a link to a YouTube video that was made 10 years ago, NBC News. And the commentator was talking about in 10 years, which is 2017, they're hoping to have chips put in people. He said, imagine, and they had a whole story about it. Imagine going to the emergency room and you're unconscious and all they have to do is scan your hand and they have all your medical information. This is an actual story. If you want the link, I'll show you. 10 years ago, they made this story. They said they have the technology. They had it 10 years ago. Imagine. I was just watching a special on the Apple Watch. You know, I mean, it's one step away. It's just the watch has, you can put all your medical information in the watch. It's just, do you see where we are? This book that was written thousands of years ago is talking about what's happening today. You will not be able to buy or sell unless you take the mark. That's the way John described it. If there's a mark. Of course, he didn't understand what a computer chip was. But he was told the mark. And we're there. In fact, they tell me that many people have already gotten the chip.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Easy locator. We can locate you. You know, you'll never be lost. Your kids will never be lost. It's going to be marketed as a safety thing. And I don't want to get off on that. What's that? Yeah, I know they do that on pets now. But again, folks, I'm just trying to bring to you that you have to stand in the rock. There may be more standing ahead, stronger standing ahead that we have never seen before in this nation. But we have to stand in the rock. Stand in the rock. The things that you see, you know, don't get caught up in, you know, in the side taking and what you see in the nation, all the strife that's going on in the cities. Don't get caught up in the side taking. Look at the spiritual part of this. A spirit of strife is riding across this nation. It's a spirit of strife to get us to fight for about everything. Spirit of division and strife, because that's how the enemy works. He divides and conquers. He divides and he conquers. Folks, again, endeavor, as the scripture says, we got to go to our work. Endeavor to keep the unity of the spirit and the bond of peace, says our Lord. Endeavor, children, to keep the unity of the spirit and the bond of peace. Don't be distracted. Stay in the rock. Don't be distracted by all these things. And we have all our opinions about different things, but don't be distracted. Stay in the rock. He has to tell me, you know, because we all have our opinions and our feelings based on our experiences in life, you know, but I'm telling you, folks, let's shift our thinking to the rock. We endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. Lord, we pray for unity. We pray for unity in the body, Lord. We pray for unity in the nation as the enemy seeks to rip. And the reason why the United States is being ripped apart, because the United States supports Israel.
Yes.
That's one of the reasons. And if he can wipe Israel off the earth. You know, I didn't mean to get into this history lesson, but it's just coming out. You know, because Israel is like that wedding band on the earth, that the fact that Israel exists lets us know that this word is true. Because there is a nation called Israel, and this is the story of this nation and what God did, and it testifies to the whole world. It tells us that Jesus our Lord came, because he came in Israel, and all of this happened because this nation. Can you imagine if Israel was taken off the earth? A lot of nations no longer exist. There's a lot of nations that, Sodom and Gomorrah, where are they? So if they can wipe that one off, God said it would never happen. But if they could wipe that one away, then they could diminish his word. See, it's not just about Israel. It's about this. It's about the word of God. So I just want us to just go forward as we do this lesson. Go forward with a sobriety about ourselves and about, you know, take care, children of God. Take care. Watch yourselves. Be sober. Be vigilant. Watchful. Be sober. You know, we got to stop goofing off and just have a more focus, a more prayerful mind, a more serious mind about things and the way things are. Because we're living in a very, very serious time right now. A very serious time. I don't know what 2017 is going to bring after this election. But I know we have to be sensitive. So the rock will keep your heart well. If you are a fearful person, the rock can change you from the inside out. You know, because some of us are fearful. I remember being so fearful, just afraid of my own shadow, just fearful when I was younger. You know, just like, but God had to, he did a work in me, folks. I could never stand up here in front of people talk like this. He did a work. So if you're fearful, just start praying, Lord, I'm fearful, but Lord, help me. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. So don't worry if you're full of fear. Start praying now. Lord, I'm full of fear, Lord. I'm admitting to you. I'm afraid of that. If they ask me about taking the chip, Lord, I can't. Lord, I don't know. Start praying for yourself now. Lord, help me. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, help me. Show me, teach me, Holy Spirit, so that I'm strong in you. I can stand in the rock in the days ahead, Lord. I need to be in the rock, and I need the rock in me as I go forward. As we dwell in the rock, he not only protects us, but also fights for us and strengthens us in the face of adversity. The trap set by our enemy will become a trap for themselves. That's from Psalm 31:32. Psalm 31:31, 1 and 2 uses the Hebrew word metzodah, or fortress, and maos for refuge, these two words together, to describe the rock. These words come to describe a place where we are not only defended, but should our enemy seek to destroy us, hear this, they themselves will be overthrown. So this goes beyond. This is not just your protection. God is saying, not only will I protect you, but if anybody even seeks to destroy you, I will destroy them. Wow. Now that's amazing protection. That's amazing protection. There are certain people that you don't mess with. You know what I mean? There are certain people, I'm not even messing with them because I know even if I attempt to mess with them, somebody's coming after me. That's what God is saying in his word concerning you. That I will deal with them if they come after you. The secret to this type of defense is to remain trusting in the rock, to stay hidden in him as the battle rages. So you keep praying, you keep choosing him and his way over and over and over again. It's not about choosing him one time and then it's done, because that adversary is coming again. You got to choose him again, and you got to choose him again. And if you slip up, go, let's take care of it, let's repent, and then choose him again. That's got to be your mindset. When you are weary, go deeper into prayer, folks. We get tired. I know I get tired sometimes. Lord, I'm just so tired. I'm tired of battling. I'm tired of the issue. I'm tired. I need to go deeper into the rock. I don't lay down my sword and just give up. No. Don't give up, children of God. Don't give up. I know it's wearying. I know it's tiring, but don't give up. The old saying goes that evil prevails when good men do nothing, or when good women do nothing, or when good men and women give up. Evil will prevail because evil will replace you. So stay where God has placed you. Be strong in the Lord. And when you get weary, go deeper into the rock. And he'll protect you. And that deepness comes in prayer. I'm telling you, just get up in the morning, just go into prayer. Just say, Lord, I'm just, you know, just meditate on the Lord. And you'll be strong for the day. I just want to quote from Psalm 42:7 that says, deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. And I want you just to picture the Lord and his water just going over you, the deep places of you. Deep calls into deep. There are deep places in you that nobody gets. Nobody understands but God. That spirit, that part of you that nobody knows the depth of the hurt. Nobody knows the thoughts that are running through your mind, all the thoughts. You couldn't even if you wanted to tell somebody, it's too complicated and they don't get it. They don't understand, but he gets it.
Yes.
Deep calls to deep. The deep parts of me calls to the deep parts of him. At the noise of your waterfall, I hear the refreshing. I hear the refreshing, and his waterfall comes over me and it overtakes me, and I'm better. I'm refreshed. I can get up and I can go again. I can go again today because his waterfall came into the deep places of me and refreshed me and restored me. Hallelujah. Any comments, questions, or sermons?
It's really amazing how at this time, at point of time, what you're teaching us. It just amazes me how the Lord knew that we were going to need this. Yes. And this is a preparation for us.
Yes.
So we can minister to our loved ones that aren't saved. That just really hit me today when you said that.
Amen.
And 10 years ago, I would have never thought that we would be hearing this kind of message.
Yeah.
But praise God that he's faithful.
He's faithful. Mm-hmm. Folks, I'm telling you. We're not going to pray away the book of Revelation. It's coming to pass right before our eyes.
Yes.
And we can't have our heads in the sand about it. Okay, but we got to fight on God's terms.
Yes.
We got to fight with spiritual weapons.
Amen.
The call to prayer is out, so we got to pray.
One of the things that comes to my mind is that because so many of us have such large families, and as the mother, grandmother, great-grandmother, it's our responsibility to take care of each one of the family members in terms of praying for them, but also reaching out to them when they have a problem to remind them to go here, give them a word of encouragement mm-hmm. from the word mm-hmm. so they can know where to go, so they're not, you know, left helpless mm-hmm. when they get into a struggle, mm-hmm. when they have a battle. Mm-hmm. And I really feel strongly about the importance of telling the kids about things to watch out for, informing them, keeping them informed about the yeah. things that the Word says, and helping to yeah. point out these things that you're teaching in yeah. this class. Take it to the family and relate it to even the little ones. The little ones understand. Mm-hmm. You know, we're talking to my little great-grandkids the other day about the mansion that God has for us. Mm-hmm. And their eyes just got this big. Well, God knows what kind of mansion you want. Really? Well, what do you want in your mansion? God knows exactly what you want. Well, let's see. I want a ninja this and a ninja. Well, you know, a child. But you begin telling them, yeah. you know, that God has a mansion for them. Well, you not only begin telling them that, but you tell them, you know, you don't want to take a chip. You don't want to take a mark. And you begin to explain to them what that all means. It's very, very important as parents and grandparents. Neighbors, you could, if you have access to children and, you know, young people, mm-hmm. that's our responsibility to mm-hmm. take the word. It's not only going out and helping feed the poor and doing all of it, mm-hmm. but informing the people that are in our circles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, and I, you know what I think, Joanne, they're going to start asking.
Yes.
They're going to start asking because a lot of people, you know, uh-huh. Unbelievers are uh-huh. are very concerned uh-huh. about what's happening. Uh-huh. You know, what's going on, what's happening right. in the nation, you right. know. I mean, some people won't want to take the chip for privacy reasons, right. you know. But, you know, again, it's a segue
yes.
to talk to them about what's going on,
yes.
you know, in a nation. And, yes I think people
yes.
are coming. I think the
yes.
that great revival
yes.
is coming,
yes.
you know, as people are going to, yes. see the situation and the condition of you asking, well, you know,
yes.
you, what do you think about all of this? And they'll come to
yes.
you. They will, I believe,
yes.
by unction of the Holy
yes.
Spirit, they'll come.
Yes.
And because they know what you believe,
yes.
they'll come.
And the other thing that you touched on is that the Lord will take care of you. You don't have to seek revenge.
Yes.
I have daughters that are in the workplace. And with one daughter, well, several, not one daughter, but all of them, but one daughter in particularly, I remember probably 10 or 15 years ago, she was working in an environment that was mm-hmm. pretty hostile.
Mm-hmm.
And she had people in the medical field really coming against her. And it was pretty harsh, and she would mm-hmm. just go to work every day thinking, oh, can I make it one more day?
Mm-hmm.
So we kept encouraging her and covering her in prayer, covering her in prayer, and asking the Lord to remove these people from her life so that she could continue with her career and,
mm-hmm.
and do the work that the Lord had put her to work
mm-hmm.
to do. Well, as it turned out, over a period of time, God did move these people out.
Mm-hmm.
Not that we prayed for anything to happen to them, you know, in a bad way,
mm-hmm.
but God took over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we were surprised at the things that really happened to them. It was, oh my God, you know, we didn't pray that,
yeah.
but God
yeah.
did it.
Yeah.
You know,
I have seen God do that
oh.
in my life over and over again,
oh.
that He will, God will clean house for you.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
What you talking about, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego,
mm-hmm.
and that they know that they stand on their faith.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we need to do, you know, to find out our identity in Christ. We already know we are,
mm-hmm.
we have the identity in Christ. So I don't know what's going on in this world. That's why we need to prepare ourselves. We need to make sure that we stand on a rock
mm-hmm.
and... I don't know. We just cannot be fearful about it because
mm-hmm.
God is always there for us.
Mm-hmm.
So we just need to pray for our family. I know sometimes it's hard.
Yeah.
And you want your family to
mm-hmm.
be just like you, you know. I mean,
mm-hmm.
you can't, but, you know, God knows.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God is the only one. He's in control of their lives. But,
yeah.
you know, you just want to just knock them in the head, you know. go to church. But, you know, and they battle with you, you know, and you just have to pray and pray and pray, and God knows when, you know, when he moves in their life, their heart will change, and that happened to my family, and their heart changed, but they need to continue, you know, but, you know, be prepared, and I think, you know, put the armor of God every day, and when you wake up in the morning, you know, just pray Ephesians, you know, 6, and, you know, we need to prepare and be strong in the Lord, because he's powerful, and he loves us so much, you know, so.
Amen.
Know your identity.
Amen. Identity. Yeah, know your identity. Come back.
Cindy.
I have this book that I'm reading, and I was reading it to John on the way to church today, and it's called The Shelter of the Most High by Francis. I think you say French, okay?
Yeah.
And
what's the name of it again?
The Shelter of the Most High.
The Shelter of the Most High. Okay.
And it was like referring to the scripture in Revelation when the woman's birthing the baby, and then the red dragon comes, and he was talking about how in our lives that, you know, especially when something's being birthed, when God wants to do something with us, that the enemy, the adversary will come in, and how so many times Satan uses words to discourage us, and he'll pick something like, you know, on our shortcomings or something that we've said or done that we might feel like, well, I don't know if I should have said that, or, you know, and how he'll just bring all this condemnation or doubt into our minds and try to discourage us and defeat us and take us away from the purpose that God has for us. But I was just thinking when Joanne was talking that we are always going to have some kind of conflict. And there are always these opportunities. Yeah. And, you know, sometimes we stumble and fall and have to go back and apologize about our responses. And sometimes, you know, we choose and we do the right thing. And I was just thinking about times at work, like when I used to try to defend myself, when people would bring false accusations. And then I remembered a time a couple years ago when it was just, like, unbelievable, the heat that came down on me at work with this one person. And I knew that, Satan was using her, and she was falsely accusing, and I thought, oh my Lord. And, you know, I thought of when Jesus never said a mumbling word, you know. And I thought, okay, I'm not even going to defend myself. I'm going to let the Lord defend me.
Yeah.
And when I walked out of this meeting, I started laughing, not in front of anybody, but to God. And I said, God, this is so unbelievable and so ridiculous. You know, and I said, there's not anything I can do about it, so I'm just going to leave it in your hands and let you take care of it. But there's always these temptations. And yesterday, I called John. After I left the library, there was this young librarian, and I said, man, I said, the library and the librarians have changed, and our culture is. I was looking for a book, and I looked in this, like, science section where I thought it would be, and things are kind of set up differently because it's a library I usually don't go to. And I went over, and I asked the librarian for help, and she, you know, wrote the number down, and I said, now where would that be? And she said, well, just go down that aisle and start looking. And I, you know, I was so tempted to say, that was disrespectful, and what did you say? But I thought, okay, just be quiet. And I walked out of there, and then I thought, I feel like going back in and telling her that's not the way to treat, you know, customers. And then I thought, no, just
walk on. Amen. Amen. God takes care of it. God takes care of it. I'm telling you. Again, we have to be like Christ. That's the way Christ was. He was the Son of God, my goodness.
Yes.
You know? So we're going to pray. You had one more comment?
Yeah. I know a lot of people are so afraid of what's going on, this election and all that stuff. Survival kit and all that. But I don't know. I know we trust in the Lord, but sometimes we have to be practical because we don't know what's going to happen. So everybody's buying this freeze food, whatever you call
freeze-dried food.
Freeze-dried food and everything. But, you know, I trust in the Lord, but sometimes you got to need to be, like, going to the doctor, you need the medicine and stuff like that, but you need to be practical sometimes, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm going to buy.
You know what? You know, concerning that, you know, go as you feel led. Because I've heard people say, you know, I've heard people say either way. You know, sometimes people will say, I don't have the resources. I don't have the extra money to buy this stuff. And then some people can. Some people says, hey, you know, not only can I buy the food, I can buy land and I can buy our big ranch, you know. And so, you know, I think when all is said and done, the Lord will designate people, you know. And you know what I have felt sometimes too? You know, that it may not be for you. You know, the Lord may take us out of here, and it may be for those that are left behind that need a place and need a resource and need resources so that they can stand, you know, when that, after the rapture, you know. So, I mean, that's what the Lord has imparted to me sometimes, like, get this. I'm like, well, I don't need that. Well, it may not be for you, you know. And God has told me to buy stuff, and I'm like, well, and he'll tell me, it's not for you. Just buy it, you know. And so be sensitive to, as I said, pay attention, be sensitive, you know, and hear what the Lord is saying. Everybody won't be able to do it, but I know God's got them. God's got everybody. He's protecting all of us. He's looking out, you know, that we all don't have the resources, but some do, you know. And God is directing them to do certain things. I know people that I know of that are doing certain things that, you know, they feel the Lord is telling them to do it. I'm like, hey, more power to you. You know, just give me a map. If I'm still here, just give me a map to where the refuge is. Okay, so Karen be driving. Me and Matt will be on the way, you know. So. Yeah, beans. See there, Joanne's got beans. And you know, and I was just thinking about, and you know, what Pastor Steve was saying about paying off the church.
Yes.
Folks, I really feel, you know, I feel that, you know, because we don't know what's coming in 2017. You know, and they're already chattering about, you know, if you don't tell the church, if you don't do this, if you don't do that, then we're going to do this, we're going to do that. So,
change the, you know, I heard also that they are going to, because of the crash and all the economic crash.
Yeah, that's another thing on the horizon.
They said that to take all your money in a bank, because it's coming soon, that you can't even take your money out. They're going to freeze it.
That's right.
So take your money. I'm taking one.
Yeah. I tell you a lot. Yeah, I've heard that. That's going on too. Wow.
You know, Sister Karen,
let's just hear this, then we're going to dismiss.
I was thinking here where you said that where Jeremiah had said, don't pray for him anymore.
Yes.
And that sounds kind of like key, you know.
Yeah.
But then I found out that it comes to a time when you just keep praying for somebody, praying for him, praying and praying and praying and praying and praying, till one day, the Lord tells you, I've got it.
Yeah.
That's when I think he probably says, trust, again, that's Matthew 6:33.
Yes. Yes.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Seek ye first.
Yes.
The kingdom of God. That one, and that Proverbs 3:5-6.
Yes.
Them have to be alive in us so we could be able to come to the point and say, I'm not going to do it no more.
Yeah.
Because you know what? That could even be an idol.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow.
And that could even that could be something that you could be robbing yourself from a real blessing down the road, because you got your eye and your heart and your mind just on that one prayer thing.
Yeah.
And we got to be careful.
Yeah.
We got to be careful that the enemy don't rob us from where God wants us to be.
Yeah. Wow.
Because that's one thing we have to keep in mind. Mm-hmm. He's no respecter of persons. He's not. He hates us.
Yeah.
But we need to always be sensitive to the voice of God.
Amen.
And I've always thought to myself, and this is just me speaking, when you trust God so much, and you know there ain't no other way but Him and Him alone.
Mm-hmm.
I've come to a point I can't even get off this chair alone. That's how much I have depended. Because there's nothing we can do without the Lord. He is our rock. He's our only one that really cares and loves us so much. Praise God. I give glory to God every day because I know He loves me. Yeah.
He does.
And I love you.
He does. And that's a good word, Virginia. All right. Read it.
I have a great day. No, I thank you for this message, Karen, and the word stand really stood out for me today. Yeah. But I love how the Holy Spirit does to confirm even what you're reading or studying. Mm-hmm. With the, I was given a book by Cindy on how to be a prayer warrior, and I'm right now in the chapter of mm-hmm. Ephesians, of the full armor of God. And mm-hmm. just that chapter alone, it talks a lot about standing or to withstand. But also, I'd just like to give a scripture
from Second Chronicles. It's a moth. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It says, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but it belongs
Amen.
To God.
Amen.
But then it does remind us also, it says, you will not need to fight this battle. Position yourself. Stand still and see the salvation
Amen.
Of the Lord.
Amen. Woo. And with that word, we're going to pray. Lord, we just thank you for your word, Lord God. We thank you for your truth in the word, Lord God. Father, you said heaven and earth may pass away, but your word is going to stand, Lord God. So we just thank you for your word, Lord God. I pray that we would stand in it, Lord God. Father, I pray that you would encourage us by your Holy Spirit this week to go deeper into prayer, to go deeper into the rock, Lord God, to standing in the rock, Lord God, to learning of you, Lord God. Father, I pray that a sobriety would come over your people, Lord God. Oh, Father, that we would be more vigilant, that we would be more watchful, Lord God. Oh, God, that we would be deeper in your word, Lord God, and we would stand, Lord God, that we would not be people that react, but people that respond in your word, Lord God. Father, we just thank you, Lord. We pray for this world. We pray, oh, God, that people would come to know the Lord. Even as we talked about people coming to us and loved ones coming and asking questions, Father, I pray by your Holy Spirit, give us the words to speak. Give us the words to speak as we see the truth of your word being unfolded right before our eyes. Lord God, give us the words to speak, to minister to our loved ones, Lord God, to our friends, to our co-workers, Lord God. Give us the words, Lord God. Oh, Father, we are determined to stand. Keep us by your power. Strengthen us by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.